You think those heroes are harmless, goody two-shoe types who care about you? Look, kid, have I been anything but straight with you? Tough, sure, for your own good, but straight. We're sorry for making you feel this way. Oh my gosh, we're talking DC's Young Justice Outsiders Season 3, Episode 22, Antisocial Pathologies. The AfterBuzz After Show starts right now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Man, we're starting off this. This is a whole new wave of DC's Young Justice Outsiders.
Oh yeah, there's so much going on in this. Well, there's just this episode in general, but just DC Outsiders as a whole.
Everything's changed now.
Everything has changed. This episode was the linchpin by far, and the grenades about to burst in everyone's face, especially Jeffrey's. Black Lightning, man. Dude. Lightning in a bottle. Yeah. They're like, lightning doesn't strike twice. Black Lightning, it's about to strike twice.
If not more, because he literally took the hit the most out of the whole group.
Yeah. Did he?
Or at least he acted like it, because it was just coming from different people in different times, so it looked like he was taking the biggest hit.
Well, acting like it's what we do best, because we act like we know about this show. All we do is talk about it, because we love it so much. This is the panel, DC's Young Justice Outsiders, Season 3, Episode 22, Antisocial Pathologies. And of course, I'm your host, my name's Teron. All the way to my left, all the way, Jeff Williams is in the building.
Yes, sir, talking Young Justice. I'm pumped, because there's so much to talk about in this episode. There's so much going on. Let's get into it.
Well, I'm so glad you're pumped, Jeff Williams. And next to him, to my left, but his right, we're talking NIEs.
I'm pumping myself up.
That's how it works.
That's all I need is me.
Overall, in this show, we're going to talk about a couple themes that went on. We are going to talk about Dr. Jace and her kids, quote unquote. Deathstroke and Tara, that was kind of weird. Black Lightning's epiphany had so many. Outsiders out of the loop, if you really think about it. Helga gets inside information from Granny Goodness. Whoa, which Granny Goodness? That's a better question. Halo is the key to the anti-life equation, if you remember correctly. And of course, Dr. Jace, dirty Dr. Jace, comes clean. The mission, or your mission, Batman. Tara goes full spot. Infinite Incorporated. Man, this was a great episode. We're talking news and gossip, special segment Outsiders, where we highlight an outsider that's doing outside work in the world, because hashtag we are all outsiders. News and gossip, we have predictions on the way, and so much more. We're going to get back into that. So, what were your overall thoughts on the episode?
I was just, like, finally, like, I feel like we're, you know, getting a bunch of, like, information. All these, like, secrets are coming out, and I feel like now it's going to get, like, even better. So
yeah, like, this episode had so much information. It was action packed. For it wasn't even fighting scenes, it was action packed in dialogue and finding out information and kind of seeing the visuals of everything. So that was cool to see, and it kind of showed way more than what I thought with Dr. J. So I was excited to hear everything.
Coming off a couple episodes where we didn't get as much storyline as we wanted, or the storylines were cut short, this was a very full episode. A lot of things happened all in one episode. We got a lot of themes, a lot of questions were answered, meaning, in my opinion, that the next couple episodes, which are, as we're winding down to the season finale, are going to be heavy. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen a lot of the Justice League, as they've been out in outer space. We did get to see them a lot in seasons 1 and 2. So here we are. We're getting a little more Batman. We're getting a little more. People are just figuring things out. We're getting all the meat. We're finding out, finally, my Dr. J's prediction came true. Where now there is no question, because I remember we still had some debate last week. Mm-hmm. So now I feel like it's going to go fast-paced. It was so good. Such a good episode. Let's talk about Dr. Jace. Let's talk about Dr. Jace and her kids, as she names Tara and Brionne.
Yeah, I seriously wrote that down with, like, question marks and everything. Kids. And then she full-on explained it. But there was so much to her plan and how she got to where she is, whether it was with Jeff or with these kids, and the creation of Tara, of Brionne, and then of Halo as well, who at first she says was her kid, and then she finds out it wasn't. So there was so much information with that, and it was cool to see how she got to where she was.
Yeah. I think now I can kind of understand, why she, like, called them her kids, because at first I was like, oh, maybe she's just, like, I don't know, it's, like, a sisterly, maternal thing, but no, she, like, actually like created them. So it was nice to just get a little bit more background there. But then after a while, I was like, I don't know. Sometimes I don't like when in movies and stuff when the villains like explain like too much. So I felt like a little bit of that with her. But then I felt like it was maybe necessary at the same time. So.
But yeah. I think they did it so well because they made it so it wasn't her own volition.
Oh, yeah,
it was
that's true. Granny Goodness
controlling her to tell, specifically highlighting the fact that she's telling and the kids will be very upset with her. And that's what made it not so Bond filler.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree with that. And I agree with that sentiment where you don't want to hear the whole truth or the whole plan for the main villain.
Yeah, she was like, she didn't have control over
it. She's not the main villain in this season or in this series in general. Mm-hmm. So it kind of makes
it. Is she not?
Well, we don't know yet. So we'll see. But it makes sense for us to find out her plan in a sped up kind of way that doesn't seem sped up. And then it also moves the story forward.
Because I think if you ask Jeff, she's the main villain. And if you ask Halo, she's the main villain. And if you ask Apocalypse, when Halo's turned over to him and is the key to the anti-life equation, she's actually the main villain.
And I thought it was pretty cool how, like, because I feel like at the beginning of, like, this, well, at the beginning of this mid-season, like, she, you probably wouldn't suspect that she would have this big role, and or especially, like, be a villain or something. She seemed more just kind of, like, in the background, and now it's like, wow, like...
No. Some of us suspected.
Oh, okay.
Some of us actually brought it up every single week.
Don't put me in that.
From the beginning, from her life, from like...
That's the case. If you remember,
really?
The prediction was
Dr. Chase.
Let's go
back to like episode, what, 12, 13?
Let's go back to Ron was specifically saying that Dr. Jace was not okay. Like, I even shipped her and Jeff just because she was cool and cute. And I was like, okay, Jeff, get it. She's going to be shade ball. I don't trust them. So Dr. Jace comes out and she reminds me of one of those people where you get these psychological profiles of people who kidnap babies because they want them for their own.
Yeah.
She reminds me of that. It's actually extremely creepy. It's creepy how she's speaking of Tara and Brionne and creating Tara specifically and then going on to create Brionne through means of manipulation in order to get Tara back.
Yeah.
And the way she denounced Violet.
Yeah.
She was like, this wasn't my child. Which allowed her personal justification on giving Violet over to Apocalypse with no regard for her life.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not forget, last but not least, she seduced Jeff just to get closer to the situation.
Yeah.
It was, to that extent, it was so crazy to see how much detail she went into not only being close to them and creating them, and you kind of see the switch, because she'll go in and be the nicest person. Mm-hmm. She'll like, Jeff, I just don't know what's happening. Like, this is too much for me. And then you see her flip the switch, and then like, no, this was all planned. This is what I did, and I didn't like her, so I just got rid of her. She's not my daughter. It's like, you see the evil scientist just
like
plan,
a mastermind.
Yeah, just
Dr. Jekyll.
Every point. And it's crazy to see, and it was great to see because it gave her so many layers. And as you predicted, we're here now.
Flip the switch. So here we have Tara and Brionne, who've also learned the truth. And even though they were at the time under mind control, still felt some type of emotion. I was very curious about that moment. I didn't understand it. What did you guys make of that?
Well, I thought, didn't they like malfunction the little thing that they had?
No, it did not malfunction.
Yeah, that was an excuse that she used because
Tara.
Yeah, Tara. Because Deathstroke gave her a little kind of defuser. Yeah,
kind of like a that actually
defuse it.
But you did that malfunction.
So she had that, but Brionne didn't. But Brionne still, like, you still saw anger in him when that was happening.
So
it was kind of like, I mean, Granny Goodness said there's still some kind of freedom and free will, even though I'm controlling them. So that, I think that's what we were seeing, because the anger was just pouring out of his, like, his eyes. And, like, I don't know if it was a full-on tear, but you could tell that he was angry.
Yeah.
And then I guess Tara was just waiting for the perfect moment to realize that I'm not even being controlled, and then kind of take over that situation.
Mm. Okay, well, thanks for the explanation.
Yeah, and with Dr. Jace, so now is everyone in agreement that Dr. Jace is not good?
I think it's easy to say that now.
Okay, yeah. I just wanted to make sure. She also went around and made a deal on her own with Ultra Humanite.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She made her own deal to come back. So she wasn't part of the original plan, or was she?
Guess we'll find out next episode.
Yeah. And so, like, her separate plan, is that, isn't that against Granny Goodness? Because wasn't she upset with the separate plan, or does she not know? Because I knew there was a rift there when they were all in the room. So I didn't know if that's what you were talking
about. Well, there's definitely a rift, because we're going to talk about that last intercom speech where Granny Goodness is not present. But yeah. In the first one, when they were talking, and you see Ultra Humanite saying, "I want Violet," and then Savage and Granny Goodness give each other a look, as in a look of understanding. We know where this is actually going to go. There seems to be a lot bigger plans at play. And it's possible that Dr. Jace, while not being aware of being part of the original plans, is very much a part of this plan.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see where it leads, because not everybody in that group is on the same page. And just from those looks, like you were saying, there might be too many cooks in the kitchen. And it'll be interesting to see how that really works out. Just from, like, the heroes, they're not working out. The villains, someone's going to cross, or someone's going to do something malicious, and then it's going to break up as well. So it'll be... it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I wonder if, like, the same thing, kind of like how, like, with the heroes, like, they kind of have their own little, like, kind of plans and groups and, like, stuff that they're all doing on their, you know, separate, and, like, if the villains might be doing something like that, too, and then they're, like, at the end, like, they're all going to be, like, what, you know, going against each other or something. That'd be interesting.
I wonder if they're going to end up working together in order to defuse whatever's going on with Apocalypse. See, yeah. Apocalypse could easily betray them all and then put everyone in jeopardy, and then the Light and Justice League and, of course, Young Justice will have to work together in order to prevent whatever ultimate plan that we see from Apocalypse, which isn't out of Justice League's historical perspective. Yeah. They've worked together before. So what's the thing that you think Dr. Jace did that was the most manipulative out of the things that we found out?
Oh my gosh, so many. I mean, I feel like maybe just like messing with Jeff, like kind of seducing him. I don't know, that's really messed up. So, but then the Tara thing too. Like, I don't know, it's so hard to pick just one thing.
Yeah, I would go Jeff specifically because there was...
Well, let's, you know what, even better, let's put them in order.
Yeah, okay.
So well, Jeff was number one.
Yeah, so I'm going opinion. Jeff,
You're messing with his heart, man.
And I'm like, I'm trying to figure out, like, because all the rest are somewhat equal. I mean, I would put Tara and Brion together.
I would put Brion, first of all, separate. I'm putting Brion at the top. Oh. Manipulating him to want to discover his own metagene and then releasing it was extremely manipulative. She set that up. Jeff, that was an easy one.
But she also told Halo that she was dying, too.
Halo dying, I'm going to put that at number two.
Okay.
Yeah.
To separate them.
I only put Jeff as number one because it was a slow burn, and she was creating that relationship for no positive reason.
I think it's just because your name is Jeff, and so you're feeling this is... She was with you.
I got respect. I got put some Helga love for my you. Jeff, my fellow Jeff. But, like, my man's was hurt. My man's was hurt.
He seems to be hurt, though. He just seems to be, stay away from me. You
like,
stay
he's
away
gone
from
through
me.
So much in this episode, and then to find out later, like, he's gonna just wanna, like, kill somebody. Yeah, it's like, what? Again? More betrayal?
So, what's your number one?
Anais? No, I think Jeff.
That's, Jeff is number one. Okay, what's everyone's number two? What's Halo. Your number two? Halo?
Yeah, I guess Halo would be my number two.
I'm gonna go with Tara.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Tara. Brion, then Tara. Tara just... This is a princess.
Mm-hmm.
Then my three would be Tara and then Brion.
Halo's my number three.
Gotcha. Okay. Mine's Brion and Tara is just a group. Just because they're siblings is kind of the same. Kind of the same.
My number four is going to be Ultra Humanite. Calling him in. Knowing that he's the baddie of the baddie. This is not... It's not even like she called Lex Luthor. Lex Luthor is still a teeter. There are times where you like Lex. But Ultra Humanite has just never done any... He doesn't even recycle. Like, he's just a bad guy, right? That's why. And then Jeff. Jeff is my... Even though it was bad, I just put these all worse.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that because there was no real physical harm or physical changes that she did to him. But
still, like,
but the mental, that's
yeah,
where,
that
that's
hurts more. That will last more. Like, if you hurt yourself physically, depending on what the injury is, that will heal, but like what you know, heartbreak, that could take a long time. It can traumatize you.
Stones can break
your
bones.
It's gonna affect you forever.
But words in seducing you could break your heart. I want to hear from you guys at home in the comments below. What do you rank Dr. Jace's betrayals at? Let's get some ranking going. Let's start with number one. Let's do the top five things that Dr. Jace has betrayed everyone. I want to know what you guys think at home, because of course you guys are, if not as much, more so a part of this panel than all of us.
Yeah, and first off, I need you show some love to Jeff, because Jeff was hurt.
Yeah.
But yeah, honestly,
don't influence him.
You guys literally make us the ESPN of TV talk, whether it's through the comments or through the likes or just through the reaching out through our social media. We love interacting with you guys. And please continue to watch on YouTube and give us a thumbs up and subscribe, because we're making these videos every week talking about all your favorite TV shows. And if you're listening on iTunes or Spotify, remember to give us that five rating, because I need five of them, honestly. And just working here at AfterBuzz has just been a great experience, working with you guys, talking about all my favorite superhero shows, and just superheroes in general. Has been a great time.
But so, we have a lot of different things. Yeah. So we do drama, we do reality TV, we do everything you watch, we watch too. So make sure to check those out. Let's get into Deathstroke and Tara.
Yeah,
man, that relationship, that was another one of her kids, except his kids, except was it? It was like Daddy or Zaddy, jeez.
Yeah, I'm glad we finally got a little bit more from them, because I just, like, you know, just throughout the episodes, we saw, like, a little bit, you know, just little tidbits, just the text messages. And I just want to, I'm just kind of more curious. I want to know more about why Tara, why he chose her, and why he wanted, he just picked, like, a random.
Well, let me
because
help
of
you.
His daughter,
let
his
me
other,
help you why Tara. Let me help you.
What?
Tara, not only is she a sweet young person who genuinely was looking for some type of guidance, but she also can move the earth with her thoughts in her hands.
I thought maybe,
so that was a great
she's
option.
Also
I mean,
in
I,
with
I,
the Young I, Justice. She's also a princess of a country. So when we put those things together, sure, I'm sure Deathstroke had something with his daughter.
No,
sure.
I didn't think it had something to do, I don't know, maybe I thought like there was something more, and like he wanted I didn't think it had anything to do with the powers.
What about Stockholm Syndrome? Have we heard of that?
I thought maybe he just, like, wanted a daughter to, like...
No, I see where she's coming from, where, like, why? There's multiple different options in Young Justice and who he could have picked. Hypothetically, there are a lot of options. But when I saw this episode, I was kind of surprised at how relaxed he was, because he could kind of see that she was teetering on, like, which side she wanted to be
but
on and everything.
But also, I thought he got involved, like, he was started mentoring her before she was even involved with them. That's why I was like, got the timeline confused.
So what happened was, the whole beginning of the story is that Tara was kidnapped,
mm-hmm.
taken from the family when she was supposed to be in Brion's care as they were out of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Brion was a party guy at that time. This sent him going into the spiral of becoming the Brion we know now. So she gets kidnapped, and kidnapped by people who we're going to think have some connection to the light, but we're not sure. But Deathstroke seemingly saves her from them and then holds her captive.
And then
on
finds
his own.
Out about her abilities, and then he...
The abilities thing was possibly part of the light, because we're going to find these things out. But what happened was Dr. Jace was working with people who work with the light in mm-hmm. order to create these abilities to begin with. So it is logical to assume the light were aware of her abilities. She's kidnapped, taken. Deathstroke then holds her captive, but then trains her to become a fighter, breaks down her mental defenses, and then sends her as a spy into Young Justice Outsiders, as Brion is the one, as they find her and where she was captive. And if you see, it seems like it was a wild goose chase in order to get her back,
mm-hmm.
but it seems like it was planted. It was like, it was planned. And now she's part back into the fold.
So, but what I was getting at was just like the dynamic, because we know Deathstroke, I'm just saying, we saw some, not vulnerability, but mm-hmm. understanding from Deathstroke, and that's what was surprising, how he was so okay with it, because in that moment, you can see her teetering, he knew it, and then he kind of just let her decide, but also giving her a token, which she knew he knew she was going to have to use.
Sure.
So, it was kind of a different angle for Deathstroke. That was surprising to me, and then at the end, you see, it kind of worked, because the token, or his gift worked, and she knew that. She probably didn't know he knew it was going to work, obviously. So that's why it was kind of a setup to, like, bring her back into the fold.
I mean, he knew something, because why give her that specific gift before the onset of this specific storyline?
Yeah. And then, obviously, it worked. It worked in her, in his favor and in her favor. And then, at the end, when he calls her, when she calls him back, we see that she's back on his team. So I'm thinking that was, like, a token, obviously, trying to win her back. But it was just surprising to see that.
Do you believe that Deathstroke is genuinely tender towards her, or this is faked for the larger good of the plan?
I think he's genuine. I think just because maybe the character, just like in different iterations I've seen and read, you can see that he's not, I feel like he's not like a completely like evil person. So that's
yeah. Deathstroke. Yeah. He's a good guy.
Like if you
would let him watch my kids.
Like Arrow and like the comics and stuff, you can kind of see he has like a soft.
He is, in my opinion. He is a human. So like, If he does think of her as a daughter, then maybe he has some type of like relationship to it. I'm thinking it's genuine but strategic.
Mm.
So like, yes, he wants to help her out and guide her, but like also it's strategic. Like, look,
he'll throw her under the bus if he needs to.
I'm not going to tell you need to be on my side, but I'm going to strategically put this here to make you understand that you need to be on my side and make it kind of your decision
as a parent. He's a human. Yeah. He is a human because we know humans don't do bad things, especially to their offspring. It's true.
Not all.
He's not held to
exactly. I was being sarcastic because you said that. The whole point I'm making is the fact that all these sound like an excuse rather than an understanding of who Deathstroke is. Does Deathstroke kill Tara if it comes down to it? Yes or no? If he's ordered by the light to do so, does he kill her or does he keep her alive?
I think he would keep her alive. I think he would like pretend to kill her somehow and then keep her alive.
If there was no other option, he would kill her. But he would find every way to do it a different way.
To like avoid it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Even if that's lying to the group.
Well, I think this season we are going to find out. As finding out seemed to be the theme of this episode, Black Lightning's epiphany of finding everything out all at the same time. First, he gets bing! Oh, wait. Batman's here. Oh, you guys are all working together. I can't believe you did that. Thoughts?
It was just so, it seemed like all the spots were too connected. How did it take one look? Because like when he kind of got frustrated when he saw all them go into one room together. Mm-hmm. They're all supposed to be friends or superheroes and like a group. So it shouldn't seem weird that they're off talking. But that's all it took for him to like put all these buttons together and all these like different storylines together pretty much. So it was kind of weird and how, or kind of quick, I guess.
I think he should have just been a little bit more calm. I was kind of, like, I understand, like, it's crazy, but, like, I felt like he was just, like, I just want to be, like, calm down. Like, he's just, like, yelling too much. He reminded me of, like, he reminded me of Victor. Like, you know,
Victor Stone.
Yeah, like, how he's always, like, the, like mopey teenager kind of reminded me of that a little bit. So
that's
like,
a great point. I did have a cyborg nod.
Yeah,
but this was warranted. Like he
was it?
Yes, because he has relationships for a long time with these superheroes and all these different situations, and he was there when he wanted to leave the group for be a better person and everything, and then your friends like are being malicious around you from one different relationship to another. That's hurting from a lot of people. And it seemed like it was coming from so many different ways. Blaming Batman, blaming all these other people. And then, who was it? I forgot. And then we find out about Jace at the end. It just seems like there were so many different people lying around him. Mm. So that's why I think everything
was warranted. But he has not found out about Helga yet.
Yeah, he did.
Like, really? They haven't really told him. They just kind of gave him, like, this look, right?
No, because when they came back to that scene, they got pretty much finished talking about that, and then he leaves.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Did I miss that? Okay.
At the end, he goes, where's Helga? And then Brion and Tara inform him, but we don't get to see everything they say,
okay,
but that
okay.
was the implied mm-hmm. conversation to which he left. He couldn't believe he was sitting down. So it's the very last scene that we mm-hmm. see as a group in which he's now being informed on what happened to Helga. He's leaving. Then Tara and Brion come back and they sit him down to tell him this news.
It's complicated. Because I can kind of see, like, all, like, I could see, like, Batman's reasoning. I could see his reasoning. So I was like, I didn't know, like, whose side I was on. I was like, I kind of understand all sides.
I feel that in many ways that he allowed himself to be played by all sides. First of all, what did you think? That Nightwing and Batman just weren't best friends all of a sudden? Who's Nightwing again? Can someone tell me?
It's like the original Robin?
But who is it? He was original Robin, and then what was his name?
Nightwing?
No, are you talking about? I thought you
just
said
Dick Grayson.
Yeah, Dick Grayson. Yes.
Oh, and he was whose protege?
Batman.
They were Batman. All... And then who's he adopted by?
Batman.
Oh, man. Oh, so I. Oh, yeah, maybe they weren't telling
who,
each
who
other
what's
going
on. Who does he love?
No, I mean, but like, we didn't even. I don't know if you guys realize it, but they said it like all his people were protege.
Yeah, like
exactly.
Tim Drake,
that's the whole concept. We're going to talk about that, the mission or your mission, mm-hmm. when Barbara Gordon basically confronts Batman and that with that confirmation of, hey, everyone you have in this plan happens to be someone you've directly impacted. However, in the situation of Jeff is clearly aware that these relationships exist. And I don't know why he would be naive enough to think that they wouldn't go on. Mm-hmm. Especially when you see that that Young Justice, who, by the way, is named Young Justice, is clearly in cahoots with Justice League. Where do you think all their stuff came from? Who gave them the stuff?
Yeah.
Who gave them? Who was there supporting their missions?
I agree. I mean, obviously they have relationships. I agree that he was naive, but he also is right in the fact that he had to be mad. He had relationships to these people as well. Obviously not as strong and not in those same relationships where they're all being proteges. But if you say you have a friend and you confide in that friend and you're working with that guy, you're expecting them to have that same type of...
I have a question.
Yes.
Okay, let's make it a relationship, right?
Yep.
Let's say you tell a friend something, and they have a girlfriend, and then you're like, hey, but don't tell your girlfriend. Who's he going to tell?
His
girlfriend.
Yes.
That's just the nature of relationships. Intimate relationships. Now, whether it's one of an intimate sexual nature or one that's an intimate friendship.
Yep, it's the same thing.
It's the same thing. So, Jeff kind of played himself, if you ask me.
No, I see that part, but he's right in being mad.
Then yeah, because he didn't want to be a part of this world, he should have not been part of this world.
Yeah.
It's very simple.
And he did come back. Like, if anything, he has to be mad at himself as well as being mad at others. Because
he wants to be there. He wants to be the hero. He likes feeling these things. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do this. You get to do this. You don't have to be involved in these things. I don't know. And his heartbreak with Helga. Well,
you just laughed.
Because let's be very honest. If Helga was Hilda, and Hilda wasn't an attractive doctor, does Jeff still fall in love? This whole, it was who she was, not who she is. Please. This concept of, who got played here, you know?
He got played.
He played himself. That's all I'm saying.
It don't matter if she's, like, good looking to one person, good looking. He fell for her, point blank period, and she traded him.
Sure. I hear this from celebrities all the time that feel like the quote-unquote gold digger got something from them. Well, guess what? She's not messing with no broke.
Vet the people you date. Vet the people you date. That's
exactly
a lesson.
There was no vet process whatsoever. They took everything at face value and he got hurt.
Yeah.
And especially it's even crazier because they have a mind reader on the team. Outsiders out of the loop. So the outsiders all find out that they're working together. And here we get another person because I didn't hear, well, Jeff seemed to get played. I didn't see any of you bring up Beast Boy who also felt he got played.
Yeah.
But did he? And the answer would be no. And that's what they told him. Come on, Beast Boy. They were like, come on, bro. You knew what it was.
Yeah, and, well, I mean, he probably just didn't think to the extent.
Yeah.
But especially when, was it Megan?
Megan.
Yeah, Megan, when he found out about that, that kind of hit him different on that one. Just because of those relationships. And you're seeing everybody has their own relationships with people, with family members, or with different groups in the team. But with all these secrets, it kind of pushes that all to the side. Everybody is just mad at everybody.
Mm.
And I'm surprised they didn't show more of Beast Boy being mad and some of the other Young Justice or the outsiders, because
when they find
they're
out,
rightfully so. I mean, they should
how
be
right. So? How are they so mad? Everything works in their favor.
I understand.
I mean, at the same time, I wouldn't be that surprised because it's Batman. So it's like, of course Batman would do this. Like,
no, the thing is, they're mad because it goes against the reason why they did it. They wanted to be doing their own thing. Yeah, they wanted to be doing what their own thing, away from the political side, away from the Justice League, and just being able to be their own brand.
But also, I feel like, you know, if you're gonna, you know, kind of like use a young, like, Justice name, you know, Justice, you're related to Justice League, like, you're gonna have some kind of, they're gonna be involved in some ways.
So I understand that, but don't say you're not part of it. And then be part
of it. This is what it reminded me of. So it reminds me of a House of Cards situation where political parties, this is how it is, an analogy for real world. This is when you know you feel something's going on, but you kind of close and turn a blind eye to it. Mm-hmm. And
see, yet, no evil,
we blame everyone
no evil.
Around. Yeah. For example, if things had gone awry with President Trump or something, we blame everyone around him and his cabinet. Yeah. So why is this so different? Why is this a situation where you may not have been directly privy to this knowledge, but you knew? And we see a lot of this in something like a Harvey Weinstein situation, where the people around him, they acted like they didn't know, but they knew something was happening. So we knew about these late night rendezvous, these meetings, Batman being involved. We know how things looked, how they felt. Ivan, here we had Dr. Ivo was back, and no one questioned why or where. And all we know is that Condiment King was for real, all Beast Boy. But other than that, that's why I'm saying that we need to maybe not make everyone as unculpable as they are.
Yeah.
Responsibility lies on everyone. And I still understand, here's the thing about being a hero. The ends do justify the means when you're saying you're the good guy. So I'm not saying what they did was right. I'm just saying that everyone else knew, and they weren't all left out either. Let's get into Helga. Helga getting inside information. Here, she's finding out a lot more about the light and their plan. This anti-life equation, which we find out is basically life minus free will is the anti-life. And so they're trying to remove free will and make everybody do as they say. Apocalypse is basically an offshoot of a Thanos. Here we have a plan where Apocalypse wants everyone to just fall in line and do as they're told.
Yeah, and obviously some people are making, well, I don't want to interrupt, but obviously some people are making their own kind of plans along with that, so it'd be interesting to see how that goes. Mm-hmm. But with Helga, you kind of see her interested in the plan because she doesn't know. She's like, so what are your plans? Or Granny Goodness, like, what do you, you want to know what my plans are? And she's like, well, you know I do. And then kind of see that. So it'll be interesting to see how, what more role, or what role she plays going forward.
Yeah, maybe she's going to become more, yeah, go into the dark side and actually help, like, Granny Goodness. And because, I mean, obviously she's not really a good guy, so she might be like, hey, that sounds like a pretty good plan.
I don't think that Dr. Jesus is a bad person. I think that she has her own personal hidden agenda, which includes Tara and Brion, much like I said, a psychological illness where she wants to collect her own tribe. We see this in I'm telling you, it's reminding me of those women who go and snatch people's babies because they want their own baby in that manner. And it's actually a very scary thing. And thankfully, it's rare, but it's not as rare as we think. So I felt that vibe from her. It wasn't, I want to destroy the world, like we see what we assume Apocalypse is doing. It's not, I want all the money and control in the world, what the light is doing. It's not, I want to save the world, like the Young Justice is doing and Justice League are doing. It's, I want my own tribe, and I will do anything to get them, and this is how. She's actually a form of Granny Goodness, if you think about this, this matriarchy character who creates these children and even controls them at this point to make them do as she wishes.
Yeah. I mean, she, that was the best comparison, was saying her and Granny Goodness just in different ways. She's controlling what she wants, how she wants it, and then pretty much, yeah, she's just creating her whole plan, her whole thing to set it up.
And Anais?
I already said everything I need to say. I'm just writing.
Well, let's get into Granny Goodness then. Let's talk about some Granny Goodness. What were your thoughts on her this episode? She's the villain.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just confused. I didn't know there was two. That was my thing. I was just like confused. So if you could explain that, that'd be great. Someone in the comments.
Well, the concept is that Granny Goodness and Gretchen are two and one and the same at the same time. So they're simultaneous. That's what we're getting at. So we're going to figure this out as the episode goes on. But the Granny Goodness that we saw on Apocalypse is probably going to be Granny Goodness, and then Gretchen is a part of Granny Goodness in some form and is doing her bidding on Earth. So it's like Granny Goodness Prime.
Oh, okay.
And then other manifestations of her.
I like seeing her more present in these episodes. Like with last episode, we're starting to see her house, and then her powers and what she's controlling, and then doing all, like, seeing her take more of a bigger role and an upfront role in these episodes. And I've enjoyed every second of it, because we not only see how, like, how much power she had, how much power she has, but, like, we see how it's affecting everybody else around her.
Halo is the key to the anti-life. Man, that was a interesting twist.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, visually it was cool to see how even out there she was still controlling other people, and the mother box was just doing what it was
told. I mean, I wasn't that surprised. I kind of knew, like, I mean, I did say that she was going to be, like, a big part of this, plan.
But we didn't know what the plan was.
Yeah, but we just got confirmation, you know, so.
But it'd be interesting to see, like, since we know she's so big of a plan, how the other people in the group and the light kind of act, because some people have different plans for her or don't like what the plans are for her. Because we see when Deathstroke finds out about the plan, he kind of snaps his like iPad or whatever. So there's going to be kind of
seems like Deathstroke was left a little out of the loop as well.
Exactly. So it's going to be very interesting to see how their plan goes along, and if anyone tries to interrupt that plan, because there are some frustrated people.
Yeah. Hashtag save Halo.
I mean, Halo seems to be, her power seems to be affected because of specifically what she is as the Mother Box incarnate. So it's interesting that her power is the key, mm-hmm. when it's the power to save that's going to be the power to enslave as well. The mission, or your mission, Batman? Which one is it? Is it the mission for the greater good, or is it your mission, Batman's greater good, and what he thinks?
Well, I think Batman, even though people hate him, he always does things for the greater good. So, like, that's my opinion.
He does stuff for the greater good in his opinion.
Yeah,
he doesn't do the greater good for the group's opinion on how we can do it as a group.
That's why he doesn't care if people hate him. He's just like, I'm going to do it. This is the way I think.
He cares enough because the first thing he says is, I wish Jefferson understood what I was getting at. So he cares enough.
Because he needs Jefferson. Yes. It's not specifically he needs Jefferson's approval. He just needs Jefferson, like, as a person.
Yes, but he also cared enough to say that. Maybe it was more for just a point, and like, we need him on our team. But that's what he said. So it was interesting to see that. But just, I didn't like Barbara bringing that up, saying this was your plan. You were part of it. You knew what the plan was the whole time.
She's also a prodigy.
I understand that, but why are you just speaking up now? Just because
she's making the realization. Oftentimes we go along with the plan, and
that's what I think. Like,
She knew she was keeping secrets, and then when she got called out, that's when she wanted to switch up. Like, this was your plan. Why are we doing this? You got your old prototype. You knew who was in the group the whole time.
She did, but at the same time, sometimes it takes a mirror from someone else so you can see your own reflection. Mm. I feel that Barbara made a realization, and we've seen this before. We've seen it in Nightwing, which is why he changed from Robin to Nightwing. We've seen it from other Batman proteges as well. Batman has a great way of making his case, and he's very logical.
Yeah.
But the truth is, it does work in Batman's greater good, not the greater good as it is democratically speaking. So the concept often, and once again, this is a nod to another realism, is we see this in our modern day where people love democracy, but only for other people that think and like and want things like them. They don't want democracy for everybody, because if you disagree with them, they don't want you in. And Batman's been very much like that. Let's go to Tara Goes Full Spy.
Yeah, I mean, it was just great. Like I said earlier, the whole relationship with her and Deathstroke was cool to see, and for her to, like, kind of teeter the what side am I on, and then him kind of set up a situation where she needed him again. It was cool to see that.
Yeah, I'm still surprised that, like, nobody has found out that she's working with Deathstroke. But I thought by now somebody would figure it out, because, I mean, there's a lot of smart people around her, and I'm like, come on, nobody's seen.
You mean the same smart people that didn't figure out that they were working with the Justice League and some of these things were faked?
Generally, they're pretty smart. Okay.
I was thinking the same thing for a minute. I was like, yeah, like, why did they not find out? But then this episode, they don't know about a lot of things.
Dr. Jace, they don't know. And you would think the person who would find out is Nightwing.
Okay, look, just trust no one. That's a lesson. Vet the people you date a lot.
Trusting no one. Do we trust Infinite Incorporated? We saw a nod to them in the beginning of the episode. It seems that they are they're Young Justice Outsiders light.
I think it's interesting. Mm-hmm. I think they need to be vetted as well, honestly, because it's cool to see that people, like celebrities, just like say they're celebrities, there's going to be people that emulate what you're doing. So, yes, it could be good things, but it could also be they bad. Could, like, so definitely vet that crew.
Yeah. I mean, kind of like what Beast Boy says, like, oh, be flattered. So, I mean, it's like, that's cool that they're being inspired, but if they kind of taint what the outsiders are doing, then that'll be bad.
Well, let's find out. Guys, let's get into some news and gossip.
Okay, so it's been a slow... Okay. Okay, so it's kind of a slow week in news, but one cool thing... Okay, just kind of like the outsiders have their own, like, social media presence. Now, Superman officially has his own social media on Twitter. He joined Twitter this week, I think. Yes, his first tweet was, look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it me. So, that's the official Superman Twitter account, so go follow him at DC Superman. Wonder Woman joined a while ago. Her Twitter handle is DC Wonder Woman, and one of the cool things that Superman tweeted, that's pretty relevant, was he tweeted this kind of like old comic strip about like Superman teaching these kids how to like treat refugees, you know, be kind to them, because Superman is a refugee himself, and that's kind of a relevant thing now with definitely, you know, what's is. Going on
definitely so. Is. It looks like he's saving all white refugees, but I'm not going to talk about that. Let's get into our outsiders special segment, on outsiders, where we highlight an outsider that's doing good for the world.
Yeah, and the one that we're going to highlight today is Ariel Geismer, and she started the organization New York Says Enough when she was 16. Now she is 18, I believe. And that is just an organization where they're protesting, for example, gun control for this one. And they organize different student walkouts. And she's been doing this for a couple years now. And she's been organizing multiple walkouts for students throughout throughout New York and other places. So she's killing it. And then in 2019, she was a recent recipient of the Diller Teen Award, which is awarded to Jewish teens that show outstanding commitment to social good. So she's doing a great thing. She's killing it in the world of social work and in just gun control, specifically in this instance. But in the light of the recent shootings in El Paso and Dayton, it's just great to see people like Ariel Geismer doing great things like that. So if you guys want to follow her, it's just at Ariel Geismer on all your social media platforms. But also, just use that light and try to make your own light and try to do that for yourself and be an outsider, because hashtag we all are outsiders.
That's right. All be part of the light. That's what Jeff said. Be a part of the light. We're all joining the light. Isn't that what you said?
No.
That's what you heard.
Let's get into predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Quick, one line of prediction. Jeff.
Tara's going to get towed out. Or people are going to find out about Tara.
Boom.
Helga's gonna work with Granny Goodness.
Ooh, we'll find out. I don't think she has a choice at this point. She is being mind controlled. I love how your predictions are always what's gonna happen, because it's what the show says.
So good.
Yes. So she stays 100% correct.
I think Infinite Incorporated is going to be a company that's actually hired to make the Young Justice outsiders look bad, and we're gonna see a conflict between the two as they see like who does what. Lex Luthor has his fingers in that one. I don't know. We'll find out so much more, but let's for now find out where they can find you if you want to be found. Jeff Williams.
Yeah, at Jeff Will on underscore junior on all your social media platforms.
Instagram at more than you think 7.
That's right. And I am Teran, because I am Teran all across the board. That's IAMTERAN. And find me hosting and paneling on a slew of other AfterBuzz After shows, because all of your favorite TV shows are my favorite TV shows too. Until next week, we will be talking more Young Justice Outsiders Season 3. Episode 23 is coming up. Make sure to check us out. We'll see you.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.